safe, but I think he got a little clip off someone, Chris.
Here they come again, the Cherries down the right. What a fast start. Francis to the byline. Pulls it in towards the end. Going again. What a goal! That is all you can say about that. What a goal!
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Lockdown Interviews. Are you looking forward to the resumption of the Premier League? Well, if so, you can watch every single match live on the TV. It's going to be a football fest. You probably know how it's all broken down, but four matches will be free on Amazon. They've got their Prime Video channel. You don't have to be a subscriber. Four will be on the BBC. 25 matches from Sky Sports will be free to air on Pick TV, which is a free view channel. 39 matches from Sky will be on Sky Sports, premium paid for, and 20 on BT Sport will also be the paid for option as well. But in terms of the paid for routes, what are the best ways to get them? Now, I haven't got Sky, I've got BT on my phone. But if you want a one-off deal and you don't want to get Sky Sports and get tied into a subscription, Now TV might be for you. You can get the app and put it on your smart TV, or you can download it for your phone or your iPad. But they've given us an offer for AFC Bournemouth fans where usually their month pass is £33.99. You can get it for 3 months for £25 a month. Not bad at all, hey? If you want to take advantage of that offer, you can go to afcbpodcast.com/now. So that's £25 a month. And what's handy about Now TV is you can actually watch two screens on different devices at the same time. So you can actually go halves with a mate, which makes it £12.50 a month to watch all of the games that are on Sky Sports. It's worth noting also that they do also have a Sky Sports mobile pass as well, which is just £5.99. So if you're happy to watch from a mobile phone, then you can do that. You can't cast it to your TV, but for £5.99, you can't complain. Point to note, though, is that that only includes Sky Sports Premier League and not Sky Sports Football. Therefore, the championship matches and playoff games you would not be able to watch. Just a little caveat there for you for the Sky Sports mobile pass. In terms of BT, you do have a few options there. If you're an EE customer, text SPORT to 150 because you are entitled to 3 months of the BT Sport app for free. If you've done that already, though, you can get it at a cheap rate monthly after that. If you're a PlusNet customer and want to add BT Sport to your package, that's just £10. And you can also go the whole route of going via a monthly pass. So you don't have to be a TV subscriber. You can just get it online, a BT Sport monthly pass. At just go to bt.com/sport/monthly-pass. for all the information there. But yeah, the offer that Now TV have come in with for us to give you is £25 Now TV per month. So a saving of nearly £9 there. Not bad. afcbpodcast.com/now. Wow, I sound like a proper salesman, don't I? Of course, right, who have we got coming up on today's show? You can probably hear the audio in the background whilst I get it ready. We are actually delighted to bring you Jan Kermagan. He's a player who, despite the relatively short time at the club, is synonymous with the club's success, as his goals and setups were a huge part of our championship winning campaign. He joined us halfway through our first championship season, enabling us to finish in a solid 10th spot. But in his first full season, he scored 17, assisted many more, and went on to help lift the trophy at his former club as AFC Bournemouth won the title on the final day. What a man he is. This interview is with Jeff Hayward, Neil Dawson and Craig Beasley.
Jan, how are you?
Hello, I'm really good, thank you. Yourself?
Excellent, yeah, very good, thank you. And also today we've got Neil Dawson with us. Neil, you're looking forward to finally watching football again rather than just talking about it?
I think so. I want to see what it's like with no crowds in the stadium, so it might be a bit weird, but we will see. But no, it'd be good to get going.
football not as we know it, I think. But anyway, and also we have Craig Beasley. Craig, you was on our fan panel last week. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Jeff. Evening, Neil. Evening, Jan.
Evening, all.
Good evening.
So, right, Jan, we've got a whole set of questions for you here, which some of them have been put to us by Bournemouth fans. Some of them are our own creation. The first one I was really intrigued to know, the name. It's not typically French. Where on earth does Jan Kermagan come from?
It's typically from where I live in Brittany. So basically in France, when you say my name, you can almost, you know, guess where I come from.
And when you were growing up, Jan, did you always want to be a professional football player, or were you good at other sports, or was it football all the way for you?
That was football all the way. Yeah, I've always been with the ball in the garden or you know, where my parents used to live, as they still live there. Basically, my mom was pregnant of me in the new house, and I always lived there. And there was like a garden in front of the house, and outside there was like a big land where the with other, you know, houses. And the parents decided to build like a wood goal. Mm-hmm. And I've played there for many days, and always every day with the ball. And yeah, it's been in my head for forever.
When you say with your feet, were you also very good with your head as a kid?
As a kid, I don't know, but the thing is, I always you know, like put everything I can. So if the ball comes to the head, I try to do my best and use my head as well, because it's a part of football.
So Craig, you had a question from Matthew, didn't you?
Yes. So Jan, who was your childhood footballing hero?
The player was I was a big fan of Jean-Pierre Papin from Marseille. Typical goal scorer, and I was quite a big fan of Marseille at this time.
Okay, and Al Gard, who is an AFC Bournemouth fan who actually lives in Brittany, asked us, which team do you support in Brittany?
I don't really support, I would not say I support one team. I have had some time, you know, as I say, when I was younger, I was a big fan of Marseille because I love the team we used to play this time. I've loved Manchester United when Eric Cantona was there as well. I was quite a big fan as well of Milan, AC Milan, at the best. But I couldn't say I had one team I support for, you know, forever. Just I love football, and I would not say I'm the only one team fan.
And in the area where you come from, in Brittany, do you support any particular team?
I could say a little bit Rennes, Stade Rennais. Because I played there for a few months before to have to stop football with my leukemia. So because I played there, a few months, I would say I'm a little bit more aware of the results and follow them a little bit more. I would say, like, in Brittany, we are quite proud to be from Brittany. So I would say every team, you know, every professional team in Brittany, I can support it.
Good. You mentioned your leukemia, Jan. So I think you were 14 when you were diagnosed. How did the illness affect you and your football as a youngster?
Of course, it was a big blow, and for me, football was like secondary. I would say it was more important to be in good health and get better. So I put the football a bit outside for a few years, and it ended up being a bit more than expected, because after I've been told I could not play football again. So I think I was something difficult for me, but at the end, I think I've used that negative part of my life, I would say, to use it as a strength and get even more mentally strong, I would say. Mm-hmm. And never, you know, give up and give everything on the pitch.
Craig?
So when you were at the Cherries, you formed a close bond with Felix Brown, who was in the same position as you, Jan. You spoke to him on the phone regularly. What encouraging words could you give him from your experience?
As I said, you for me, I had a sentence I quite like. It's when you get or as long as you get hope, you get life. I don't know if you said that in English, but I mean, yeah, just never give up and believe it can be, you can get more, you know, good times.
You've always struck every Cherries fan as a really intelligent player. I mean, you were a complete footballer in our view. You had an amazing touch, great shot, great heading ability, vision to pass the ball and timing that was unbelievable. Which of the skills came most naturally to you and which required you to practice most to improve, do you think?
I don't know. It's a difficult question, to be fair. I think the way you play football and the way you see the game is maybe something more natural. So some players maybe get that vision and others are more focused on, you know, maybe goals or stuff like that. But I've always always liked, you know, to share. That's why I play football, to be fair. And to, you know, to make passes and score goals as well. But it's never been the most important thing, I would say. It's more to try to play the best way I can to help the team before than thinking, yeah, I need to score goals because I'm a striker or something like that. So I think the way I play is more trying to be good for my teammates and help them to get better and as a team. Mm. If you know what I mean.
We do. Well, we could see it when you played, we could see all of that. When you first came to England, you came to Leicester City. Had you been to England before? And how was it? How hard did you find it to settle in and adjust?
No, I think that was the first time I went to England when I signed for Leicester. At the beginning, to be fair, it was like a big adventure, new challenge, and I was looking forward to, you know, to play in a new championship and with a different culture. And the first memory I have from Leicester, to be fair, is the atmosphere at the stadium with the fans. Mm-hmm. That was huge, comparing to second division in France. Mm-hmm. And I was straight away happy to, you know, of my choice to play in England, and I felt like that's why I've signed in England for that kind of you know, games and atmosphere. But after, the problem for me was like being involved, you know, and feeling, you know, integrated with the team. Mm. Because I didn't speak well English, and they didn't really try to get me involved as well. So it was a little bit like you are here, but they don't really want you to be here. So it was a bit difficult, but you learn from that as well, and you try to take that into your positives and that help you after in your life.
Mm. So what do you think that was, Jan? Do you think it was down to the coaching staff, or were the players just not a very welcoming bunch of teammates?
I think, first of all, it was the players, because as you know, in the team, and especially when I signed for Leicester, they were promoted from League One, so they already had a group, like very like a big, you know, togetherness, and most of them knew each other, and even the new players, they came from English leagues, so they all had friends in the team or people they knew. And me, it was like I was alone, nobody knew me, and I was French. And of course, it was difficult to arrive here, try to train well, which I did. I was really good at training, to be fair, and gave everything. And I think maybe some players felt like I could take a place of one of their friends, especially, you know, at this time, the striker was a big friend of the captain. And I think that didn't help me to get a chance and to be welcomed by the players. And after that, because there was two, you know, important player and with experience, I think the rest of the team felt a little bit in the same mood. And finally, I had just two or three guys who tried to speak to me a little bit, but not much.
This might bring back some difficult memories, Jan, but there was a playoff final where your confidence from the penalty spot ultimately led to a miss which prevented your side from getting promoted to the Premier League. Is a the chip down the middle a technique that you'd perhaps advise players coming through against doing now?
It was a difficult decision for me because, as I just told you, I was not really involved, but the confidence was really low. And when the penalty shootout just arrived, I just played maybe 10 minutes in the end of the game, just to help the team, for the long balls and stuff like that. And when we had to take responsibilities for the penalty, basically there was like three players maybe who decided to take it and take the responsibility. And after, the rest were more, I think they didn't really want to take it. So me as a striker, I had to, I would say, take the risk and assume. So the manager asked me if I wanted. I think he was hoping I would say yes, which I did. But of course, when I was a fourth penalty taker, and they all scored before me, so the pressure was on me massively. And I knew if I missed, I would be the scapegoat, because I was already not really involved. So I think it would be easy to say that's your fault. So it doesn't change my mind in terms of the technique of the penalty, because I did that before and I had success as well. But I was more like not confident about smashing the ball on my left, which I normally do, because I was thinking if I do that, I might maybe not hit the target and miss the goal. So I decided to chip in the middle because the keeper dived like in the first three shots. He gambled, I take one side and I dive. So I was thinking if you just chip in the middle, it should be a goal because at least you hit the target. And but I think he maybe saw something in my the way I walked to the ball or something. I was maybe aiming to do something crazy. And at the end, you could see he didn't really dive. He just put a knee on the floor and stayed a bit in the middle. So he said the pen. But it was not the best one, to be fair. Yeah, as I said, I was my confidence was very low, and even the chip was not good.
It happens. It happens. And then you went back to France, and then you came back to England with Charlton Athletic, who the manager, Chris Powell, I think he was a coach at Leicester, so he would have remembered you, and he must have liked you and brought you back. What was he like to work for, Chris Powell?
That was, for me, after Leicester, of course, he was a big disappointment for me because I knew he was a footballer, I would be good for, but the fact is my season was difficult and ended up like really badly, so I had to maybe go somewhere else and have another season maybe back in France. But after that, I came back to Leicester, to be honest, and the manager was not the same. It was new manager, new owner, so I was thinking, why not having a new chance? Of course, some players change as well. So I was thinking, is it like a new depart? You can try if he's helping, if he's going well at the beginning of pre-season, why not? Which happened at the beginning. And at some point, I don't know why, I think some people from the previous staff were still there. And I think they were really angry towards me. And I think they spoke to the manager, like maybe saying it would be difficult for me with the fans, I don't know, but at some point I didn't play a game in pre-season two, which was weird for me because I did nothing wrong. And then when I came back, I had a friend who was already due to depart to leave the club, and he was already training with the youth team. And that's him who told me, like, now you train with me with the youth team, not even someone from the staff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so that's over for me. And after they tried to, I would say, get me out. I had 1 year left, so I just trained and tried to be a professional with the youth team, which I did. And I finally resigned on the last day of maybe August. And of course, I was in chat with Chris Powell. And I really like him as the player, even if we didn't really speak too much at Leicester, but I felt he was a great guy. And when he signed for Charlton, it was a big, yeah, of course, it was a big impact for me to take that decision to come back and sign for Charlton, especially in League One, mm-hmm. which I didn't really want at first. But I felt like it might be a good revenge to come back. And at least him, he saw me at training and he knows my abilities. And maybe this time I will get a proper chance to play.
And you did as well. There were two teams that you seemed to have particularly good games against. Every time you played Leicester, you seemed to score and win. And then you also played well and scored a few times against Bournemouth. So what was it about Bournemouth that you enjoyed and motivated you to score lots of goals?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I remember I scored twice, I think, against Bournemouth. Yeah, I don't know, to be fair. But when I came back, it was the same. When I came back, I think a few years later, with the it was the same with the Reading. When I played against Charlton, I scored two. yeah, I've scored a few against my previous club or future club.
You scored a few against Leicester as well. That must have been good.
Yeah, that was funny because, I don't know, but I think I played three times with Charlton against Leicester and scored always one, and we won 2-1 every time. So that was good, special dedication for me.
Do you think it was because of your goals against us, how Eddie actually noticed you?
I don't know. I think, no, I can't say just one goal or two make the difference. I think I would say you have to give him more credit when he take a player. I think he's the one to study every detail of a player to make sure he's the one he really need. And the funny thing with me, he told me when we met for the first time. So he explained to me basically the way, you know, his philosophy and the way he wanted to play. And he said to me, I'm normally don't take players above 30s. It's not the kind of player I want to bring, but I'm sure you could be the last piece of the jigsaw and we could get better with you. So we spoke about that a bit later as well. And he said to me, you've been just the player I needed.
And it must have been really hard to leave Charlton because, I mean, I know a couple of Charlton fans now, and when I said to them, oh, I'm talking to Jan this week, they were like, oh, he's my hero still. why do you think you seem to have that special bond with Charlton fans?
I don't know. I think it could be the same everywhere. What wants to see the fans with their players is to make sure they give everything. After they can forgive you if you had a bad game, but at least if you give your best and you respect the shirt and the club and the fans, of course. I think that the main things and the most important for me as a player is to give everything. And you can't, you know, cheat and think about yourself. You have to be, respectful for what you represent, because even for the, you know, the kids are looking at you. It's important to show something good, and I think that's why the fans like me as a player.
Did it worry you when you came that we were a smaller club? We're still a smaller club than Charlton. Did that worry you?
Not really, to be fair, but of course, as we just said before, when I left Charlton, it was for me a big, it was heartbreaking because I wanted to almost maybe finish my career at Charlton because I found exactly what I wanted to find, and I felt so good in the club with everybody at the club, of course the fans, I love the stadium. The manager, I had everything good group as well. So yeah, I was just happy, you know, to play in that club. But unfortunately, when we needed a little bit of investment and bringing some new players after the season in Championship, to where we finished not far. It's quite similar to Bournemouth, to be fair, when we got promoted to the Charlton, we finished the season like close to the playoffs, not too far, like ninth. Mm-hmm. And basically, I felt that season like we should keep the best player, I would say, and maybe add a few good ones to maybe push for playoff, spot, which didn't happen, and that was a big disappointment as well, because I felt like we had something to achieve something good, but just we missed investment from the club, and I can compare to Bournemouth when I signed. Same, we could see like we had something good maybe and we could achieve something good, but we needed maybe the two or three or four players to get a proper squad and with quality and to have a chance to reach the playoff or even more.
Mm-hmm. And you had to wait until March that year to make your debut with ourselves. Was you frustrated it took so long, Jan?
Yeah. Yeah, because I have to be honest. When I signed, it was in January. I think the team was not doing too well, in terms of result and position in the league. So I felt like when you sign as a striker in January, it's normally to have an impact and hopefully an impact straight away, and at least to give a chance. And of course, the first game, you have to adapt to the club, the team, the way they play. So I was thinking, yeah, no problem at all. But after another one, it's okay, two, a third game, and maybe fourth, I don't know, four or five games, I've waited on the bench, and I felt like I was surprised. I was like, why did he sign me if he's not to be given a chance to start one game? And I remember thinking like, wait, next one, and we see after if I have to speak to the manager to know why I'm not playing or why I'm not starting again. And that game, came, as you know, and that was a good one. Yeah. And well, it was the start of a new adventure.
He got off to the perfect start against Doncaster. You actually got 3 goals that day, but you had quite a lot more opportunities. Were you happy with the 3 goals, or were you disappointed that it wasn't more, Jan?
It's a good question. I would need to watch the game. I don't remember. I remember maybe the goal, especially. I think that was one at the back post, and maybe 2 headers, I think I was. I could not be more happy than scoring a hat-trick, on your first start, especially after being frustrated to almost thinking, knocking at the door of the manager to say, oh, what's going on? I'm not playing. So it was a big turn for me, and I felt like that's a big boost. And I felt like even with the fans, and there was a connection. That day was for me like something good will happen at this club, and you will feel good, as a family and...
It was the start of the Jan Kermigant song as well. That was the start. And that third goal was one of my favourite goals you scored. It was a brilliant header at the back post. Yeah. That season, you had a really good partnership with Lewis Grabham towards the end. Were you disappointed when he left to go to Norwich? Were you worried?
Yes, I was, to be honest. I was in terms of... I knew and we saw we could be a really good partnership, up front. And I felt like the way we finished quite strongly, the season, I felt like if we could keep the same squad and add 3 or 4 good players with good pedigree, it could be something really interesting because as we saw, we finished the season with, I don't know what the point average, but it was quite high. So, it's always important to finish the season strong, and of course you come back, you are on the positives, and you can start a good season as well. So,
of course, with that into the season, I honestly think that was the catalyst for the title winning the year. Did you ever imagine what was going to happen next?
No.
Got a visitor.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was like, I felt something great would happen. That's why I said to you, I remember having a chat with Grabs and Cookie, saying, lads, if we can keep the same group, you know, and just bring a few players, I'm sure we can push for at least the playoffs and maybe even more, because I could see the quality of the players, of course, the quality of the manager as well. Was really, you know, in big demand of everybody at the club. And you know, if you want to reach something, promotion, there is two solutions. You got the definitely the best squad and with players, maybe almost Premier League standard. And of course, you are better and you can win the league. Or it's a lot of work and lots of intensity and everything. So. I think we had players who finally became Premier League players, but this time we had players who wanted to improve, to work hard, and the manager to drive everybody to the top.
Now, we had a question from a fan, Kirk Tovey. It's on video, so just have a look at this.
Hi, Jan and everyone. Firstly, I'd like to wish Jan a happy retirement and all the best for any future adventures that he takes on. Now, your partnership with Callum Wilson was clinical and something that we don't see very often in the modern game. Is Callum Wilson one of your favourite striking partners in your career? And was it something that clicked naturally or needed to be worked on in training?
I think it's quite easy to see and to understand, because basically my weakness were maybe strength and the opposite. So we were complementary. He was, you know, quick, running behind, wanted to score goals, and me, I love to play just a little bit more, you know, deep and flicks, pass the ball. So yeah, basically I think we were just having different qualities. And we can complement each other perfectly.
One of most Bournemouth fans' favourite memories of you, we've all got a few favourite memories, but a lot of our favourite memories centre around that goal against Ipswich with Simon Francis's cross. Would you say that's your best ever goal?
Nope.
Better than that.
Well, for Charlton, was it for Charlton?
No, it was in France. I got like two or three overhead kicks I scored in France, and I think there was two, maybe more. Definitely one better because much more difficult and really good, and another one, quite good as well.
Neil, I read somewhere that Jan used to practice scissor kicks in his back garden. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's not in my back garden, but you know the land I just told you before, the land in front of my parents' garden where the dads build a wood goal. That was funny because on the left of the goal, when you were looking at the goal, on the left there was like a hedge and a house, and on the right there were much more space, you know, and a little road. So basically my friend was used to cross from the right. So I was doing like volleys from the right or overhead kicks from the right, which happened with Fano when he crossed.
Brilliant.
But I finished sometime in the hedge when I was doing my overhead kick.
Were you a natural free kick taker, Jan? And did you practice the free kicks a lot? You like the pressure of that and the penalties?
No, I would not say I practice a lot, but I really love free kicks, and I feel like sometimes when you have a difficult game and you can't really even approach, you know, the goal, sometimes just a little foul can make a big difference because you get that free kick, you know, close to the box or even sometimes a bit further. But yeah, I think it's really important. As could be, you know, all the free kicks and flicks, you know, from headers and. That sometimes can, you know, just be the difference in the game.
In that final season, you and Brett used to rotate. So sometimes he'd play, sometimes you play. So I've got two questions. Did that annoy you? And also, were you told why you played and why Brett played?
No, I didn't. I know him, to be fair. It's the first time I've been sent off, so it was naturally someone else will play in front of me. Yeah. And Brett, honestly, I think did very well. He was good. Even at training, you could see he was a great finisher. And I think he's proved that, especially at Bournemouth, scoring many, many goals the season before. And it was just about like competition. And when I lost my my place, I would say, because of my red card, I think the team still, you know, did well, of course. And Brett was doing well as well. So I had just to wait a little bit and work hard as well and get my chance again. And another time I've been sick as well. And that game is called a night trick, I think. It was Blackpool or something. So I think it's just a proof of his quality as well, you know, to be ready when you get the chance to take it. And I think he did very well. And at the end, we've played both, you know, quite a big part and lots of games as well. And I could not say I was annoyed, of course. That's part of football. But as I say, it's not about... I know it's difficult because you think about your individual stat and your personal life. But in the same time, for me, you have to think more about the team and you want to reach something. And for that, I think if you don't help each other, it affects you negatively instead of being maybe something really positive. And I think with Brett, we had something maybe more positive, like... we had to accept one will play in front of the other one. And if it's not me, I have to be ready for the time I would be... the time I would be, you know, on the pitch. So, yeah, that's just to resume the quality of the squad we had this season. As you could see, when the manager did the 10 changes in the cup, for example, we always did very well and we produced some good football as well. So I think that's why we won the league. We are just not only 11 players, but 20 good players.
And you got 15 goals in the championship winning season. So you beat Brett by a couple as well. Were you both really competitive against each other in the goal scoring stakes? And would you say it's the best goal scoring season?
No, because as I said before, I've not been always focused on only scoring goals. I want just to help my team. At some time, I'm really happy when I make a run back and I make a great tackle as a defender, just because I think that's important for my teammates to see I am here to, you know, as well to help and not only getting the how do you say that? Don't put the cover to you. I don't know if you know what I mean, but when you score goals, most of the time it's because your teammates have worked hard for you as well and have done something to give you the opportunity to score goals. So I like making assists as much as scoring goals. And the most important at the end is getting a result and win games. So,
what was your favorite assist?
The one against Birmingham.
That was for Callum, wasn't it?
Yeah, for different reasons. First, because I think it was a really difficult one in terms of distance. And what I like, it's like inches from being not a goal. But at the end, it's a goal because the defender is tackling, but it's just there to get the ball. And the goalkeeper is just there to get the ball. So finally, it was just a perfect assist for Callum. He did the perfect run as well. And I think that's that assist for me gave me more happiness, I would say, than some goals. Especially that day where we could have crumbled and just, you know, being 2-0 down and at such an important time of the league. I think we desperately needed to score that goal and that maybe change the rest of the history.
Do you think you got better with age?
Better, I don't know. Maybe you take less attention to things who could affect your game or your mind. And of course, if it affects your mind, it affects your game after. But no, I think I've found the right managers as well, and the way we work in England is maybe a bit different of what I've done in France, maybe. So yeah, I felt like just I've improved working out and training as well, and with all the facilities, all the staff who are much bigger than in France. So it gives you more, maybe, you know, those details to get better and stronger.
You mentioned managers. It always looked like Eddie loved you, but did he ever get angry with you? And what about?
Was he angry against me?
Did he ever? Yeah.
No, I think to be honest, Eddie is he demands a lot from his players and from his staff, from everybody at the club, and that's why the club has been there and now he's you know, in the top league. So I think that's something he didn't have to really ask me too much. Giving my best was always I think the case. Sometimes you're not good, but you always, I think I always give my best on the pitch.
My favourite moment, Jan, was the free kick you scored against Brighton, because watching that game, I thought, this is a game we need to win, but we're never going to score. And then you casually strode up and hit some free kick. Do you want to talk us through that moment?
Yeah, I had the same feeling, to be fair. I think we were at the turn of the season where I would say on the paper that was maybe the biggest game we had to play until the end. Away, Brighton is never easy. And was the game on Sky?
Yeah, it was.
So always, yeah, even the game on Sky, always a bit different. So a bit more pressure on us. And we didn't play too well, if I remember. And we struggled to really create chances, and we maybe felt like, we're never going to score a goal. Maybe not concede, but not scoring. So, and we were desperate to win, especially at this period of the season. And as I said just before, we spoke about that, you know, the free kick could be the solution. And when we had that free kick, I felt like you have to score because we don't have any occasion. And we need to we were desperate to win. So I felt like I had maybe a big, I would say, it could be the different, that free kick. So I just tried to concentrate as much as I can. And that was funny because there was Matt Ricci was beside me, and we spoke just before. And that was another part of the quality of the team and the squad, because when we spoke, he felt like he was maybe more for left-footed because he was on a bit on the right. But in the same time, he just pushed me to say, like, come on, Yanni, you're going to score. And that's why when I scored, he jumped on me again, like Ipswich. He was used to grab me and try to kill me on the floor. So, yeah, he just completely exploded, and I quite enjoyed that.
Got a question here from Jamie that's been submitted. So can you describe the feeling you had when that full-time whistle went against Bolton?
I was almost crying, to be fair. And that was funny because I've been subbed, I don't remember, maybe 80th minute or something like that. So I could watch, you know, the game on the sideline, the end. And for me, it was a long 10 minutes or 15, I don't remember exactly, but that was like, you couldn't be more happy. And I quite appreciate, to be fair, to be out of the pitch at that time for just enjoying, you know, the atmosphere and just waiting for the whistle. And I was just crying more inside maybe, but I had some tears coming, and I was, I don't even remember if I was really completely celebrating in the dressing room after the game, because I was so it was like the end of a long journey. And getting the dream, you know, the dream come true, and I was just so happy inside, and at the same time some people could see me like feeling sad, but it was not.
How special was it to win the title at Charlton?
That was something I remember when I saw the fixtures. at the beginning of the season, I felt like, why Charlton away for the last game? That means something for me. It's going to happen something. But I couldn't, of course, expect what finally happened. I think even in a book, it would not be possible to write exactly what happened at the end. Charlton away, winning, you know, being promoted, winning the league at the last minute, with what happened at Watford and Sheffield Wednesday was like, he looks like he come from a movie, you know what I mean?
Well, the after we won, we obviously had the bus parade on the beach, and we've got a question from Simon. He said, do you remember the bus parade on the beach? Because when we asked Brett Pittman, he said Jan Koeman, he said he won't remember it.
I do. I was just yeah. I remember it was just a massive day. Just something you can't really believe, but. And I was quite impressed by the people on the beach. I was at this time, I remember I felt like I won the title at Munich or something. You know, the big club you see on TV with the parade and so many people in the street. And I couldn't imagine it would be that moment when we drove to the beach. It was so impressive. But we had a nice night out before, and we quite enjoyed the promotion.
And what were you drinking? Because I want to buy some.
That's maybe something I don't remember exactly, but I would say champagne or stuff like that.
Good.
Very good.
Jeff.
When the season, the pre-season was in progress for the Premier League, were you spoken to by Eddie about your role within the team in the Premier League, or was it a surprise when you were left out for that first game against Villa?
That's a really good question. I would say it is not the kind of manager who tell you like you will be my striker next season with the Callum, no problem, or something like that. So it was for me just a question about being ready for the season, new season, of course, a higher level. And in the same time, I was quite confident to get a chance because, of course, I felt like I had a big part in the promotion. So I might be not reward because you in football it's not like that. But I felt like maybe I would have a chance. And when he told me at the end of the season, like we will not be where we are without me signing you a year ago, I felt like it was a big. Organizing from him, and I felt like I should have a chance, and after I would have to take it, and of course to prove I can play a part in Prem, but it didn't happen like I wished. But as I say, it's football.
Looking back, is there anything or what do you feel that you could have done differently, Jan, if anything, to get more game time?
You can always do something different and surely better. I had an injury at training with Tommy. I received a tackle where I got a little bit injured on my Achilles. And the last game of season of preseason, I think we played Middlesbrough at home, and I was limping, so I had to come off after 20 minutes. And of course, I would not say it would have changed the gaffer decision to start me or not. I don't think. But anyway, it was not the best time to get injured and to miss the last game, you know, to get ready for the opening game of season. So I was, of course, disappointed. And at the end, the last week, the week before Villa, I was thinking if you don't play the first game or first two or three games, they might bring another striker, maybe two. They will maybe come from Premier League clubs. because you know what it means, big money and big stuff like that. So you will be maybe fourth or fifth forward. So I felt like you maybe will get two or three chances, no more. If you do well with Callum and you prove you can still be a good partnership in Premier League, maybe you will get more game time, you know. And I was not even thinking like you're going to start every game in the Prem. It was not my I was clever enough to know, you know, it would not be that easy. But at least I wanted to have a go and a chance. So when I saw I was not, he called me before the game to say you will not start on Saturday. So I was really disappointed, but I felt like, okay, so he might get some changes and maybe he will not start with the same team. Okay. But the biggest disappointment for me was when I saw on Friday when he do set pieces and stuff like that, that I was only one from the, I would say, the promotion team to be out of the starting 11. And this day I felt like it was really painful, because I felt like my dream was over. Already I was thinking, because as I said before, I need to start the first two or three games to get a chance, and not starting the first one. When we finally brought nobody, I would say, in terms of, I think we brought...
Josh King.
Just Josh King, I think. That was the only one, eh? Yeah. At this time, that was the only one. Mm. So I was upset because, as I said before, you know, Kingy was playing at Blackburn. He didn't, like, score many goals that season. And he was not from Premier League. So I felt like we finished first in the league. I did well with Callum. And I was really, upset, and even more not starting in front of Kingy, because as I said before, I was thinking, now they're going to bring another striker, it would be even tougher for me to play. So that night I had a really bad night, like awful. I was almost crying inside, thinking your dream is over. I felt even betrayed, like oh no, it's not possible, what can that happen? And at the end, it didn't help me, because the day after, on Saturday, I was knackered before to even come to the game. I was like completely drained. My legs were shaky, you know, and I felt tired. My back sore, and you know the kind of body you feel when you've had a really awful night. Mm. And what happened is Kingy was maybe knackered after 40 or 60 minutes, and I had to come. No, I think I come on 50 minutes or 55 minutes, and I was like really bad physically. I was it was not about fitness, because if I had played the game in a good, you know, with a good mind and stuff like that, I would have been maybe better. But that day I felt like so, like out of my body. Mm. Because for me the dream was over. And and finally, it didn't help me, because if I had a good game that day, I might have maybe started the following one.
Yeah.
But I couldn't control my body, and my body was stiff, and my head was gone as well. So I had a bad game. Not crazy, like I didn't do anything wrong, you know, but I felt like out of pace. And I remember losing like two balls where the guy arrived like I was a truck and he was a Ferrari, you know, like phew. And I think that completely killed me. But that was not really me, you know. So yeah, I was upset, because I felt like after this game, I was already a write-off before to even have a chance. And that's my biggest disappointment, because as I said, now, if I look at the lads, they're all playing in Premier League. And I can see they play against defender I play against in Championship, where I've done well. So I'm sure I could have done something, and I could have had a part to play in the team, especially doing what I've done at Reading 2 years after. Yeah. I think I was not done, and that's my only regret, I would say, at Bournemouth.
Did you talk that through with Eddie?
I spoke to him maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, We had a little chat, and as I said to him, it's not personal, you know. I was not happy with myself, and in the same time, I said to him, I was really here, upset, and almost angry against him. But it's not like something you stay in my mind. And in my mind, yes, but I mean, I have nothing to tell him. You know, we had a good chat and we had a good relationship, no problem at all. Mm. I had to accept that, and as I said to him, he didn't take a bad decision, because Kingi has done well since then. I think he's done very well. You could see he had quality. It's not it's just a regret for myself, and of course after what I've done in championship, I felt like I deserved. Mm. It's tough for me now to say I've not started a game in the Prem. That's.
We all wanted you to start.
I think we all did. And we were all pretty disappointed that you went to Reading halfway through that first season. You had a lot of clubs actually interested in you. What made you choose Reading?
That was quite simple, you know. If I left Bournemouth, it was for a London club. Just because, you know, it was another move. I didn't want to go up north, and it was back to London or maybe stay at Reading, but I didn't want to go too far.
It's fair to say when you got there, Jan, it was a very turbulent time. They actually changed managers three times that season. And you was brought in by McDermott, weren't you? Brian McDermott?
Yeah.
They also had a shake-up in ownership. Did you think at any point that it was a mistake going to Reading? And do you wish that you stayed at AFCB at any time?
The thing is, I had the same feeling as I had at Charlton in terms of I was really well, and I felt very good at Bournemouth with, as I said, the club, family club, the manager, no problem at all, the players and the fans. So I wanted to stay, but the fact is I would not have played. So I couldn't say, yeah, you play in the Prem, but you don't really play. You just come on for a few minutes sometimes. Mm. And at my age, and my, I just wanted to play. So I felt like I still had legs, and I couldn't do a good job in championship. So I felt like, do you prefer to play a part in a club in championship or just sit on the bench in Premier League and watching your teammates realizing their dream, and you just being I said that in another interview. For me, it was like when you got a big present, and all your teammates can play with the the toy, but not you. And you just watch them playing with the thing you've achieved together. That was really difficult. So I think I had to move on, and just it would have been too difficult to do the full season watching my teammates and just feeling like you're not involved really.
That second season, you was quite prolific for them in front of goal. You got them to the playoff semi-final as well, didn't you? And you scored, was it against Fulham in the semi-final?
Yeah.
What would you say from your experience that you got at AFCB helped that year?
Yeah, that's a good question, because when I signed for Reading, I had basically my big disappointment not playing in the Prem. I was not much fit because I didn't play, so I had to get back to fitness. I had to recover from my disappointment and get back to confidence as well. So that end of season was quite difficult, even with Reading, because we didn't play well. We were struggling in the league, so I was thinking, oh, that's not good. But the following one, I think there was a big turn for me in my Reading career. I would say it was the signing of the manager Jaap Stam, which was a great guy and great manager. With, of course, a big experience as a player, so someone you want to hear and to listen. And the big change for me is, for the first time, I was the number nine, and not the one who play behind the striker. I was the only striker, and I play up front on my own, so it was a bit a big ask for me, because as I said before, I'm not selfish. So as a striker, when you play up front on your own, you have to be sometimes a little bit more selfish and think about the goals, because you are here to score goals. And sometimes you have to forget, you know, about the doing maybe some I would not say defensive work, but you have to focus a bit more on finishing the action and be in the box. So I had to adapt my game a little bit, and finally it happened very well for me, and that was my best season in terms of goal, which is crazy.
Which of your teammates did you stay closest to as friends, and did any of them try and speak French to you?
That's, you know why? That's funny, because we had such a great team, a great everything. I had no problem with any players, but I've stayed closer with the players at Charlton and even Reading after, where we got like a WhatsApp group still together. And it's like, yeah, bon move. I didn't have really one proper friend, or because same, you know, they were promoted from League One. Yeah. Players were really close. Some were really, really close, which was good, yeah, no problem. And for me, yeah, I didn't have one like you see outside the training ground or the games, you know, for dinner. I had a good relationship with everyone. Mm-hmm. But I had no really like a big friend. I still got some message sometimes with Tommy Elphick or Matt Ritchie, but not the same as Charlton and Reading. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy, because we had a really good season and relationship. But
so you went back to France. When you went back to France to play, did you notice a lot of changes in French football, or was it as you remembered it?
I don't really know, to be fair. It's weird, because I don't watch too much football on TV. I just we had a TV show on Sunday where you can see all the goals, and they talk about the football, you know, of the weekend. But the rest of the time, I just watch sometimes with Champions League games or international games, but not many.
You're also known as a man who loves food and wine, as most French people do. Did you teach Marc Puech how to cook, or are there any other players that you've influenced at Bournemouth?
No, but I've seen I've seen some of his video every day, like cooking, and sometimes I've seen with a glass of wine, which is good. But yeah, I've seen that he's really busy with the food. Maybe too much for me. too much for me. Yeah.
Now that you've retired, so you were always a very intelligent footballer. Do you think you will take that intelligence and become a coach or a manager, or what's your plan?
Not really. To be fair, I would like to. That's what I'm doing now. To do something a little bit different of football. I still love football, of course, and but the thing is, I've had a few possibilities of a conversion and do something in the clubs I've played for. But the fact is, I've been occupied for many time for the weekends because of football, of course. And now I want to enjoy a little bit more time with my family. So most of the work in football are on the weekends, and I'm not ready to do it now, because I want just to see my kids and my family, my wife, and just enjoy my time with my family. But not my son is playing football, and I kind of teach him, you know, I follow him, and I help the club to have a coach.
Good. Do you ever find yourself humming that chant that we had for you?
Yeah, of course I do. I'm missing it, to be fair. I would love to hear it again.
Excellent.
If you want to come over and have a song.
Sing in the garden.
We had a question from a fan, Blazers for Goalposts, who asked, if you were spending the rest of your life on a desert island, which member of the Bournemouth squad from that season would go with you?
Wow, that's a, that's a really difficult question. I don't know. As I said before, you know, I didn't have one friend, you know, like a best friend. So I would say, without saying a name, I would say one who like food and wine. So it might be Mike Pugh. Yeah, it would have to be a little bit less serious on the food, you know. Sometimes you can have a little bit more fun because it's too much on the veg and, you know.
We have another food question for you. We got one fan who lives in Brittany. He lives close to you. He's a lovely old man. And he wants to know, when you eat galette sausage, do you have it with moutarde or do you have it with ketchup?
I could say both, but definitely you need moutarde.
Good answer.
Very good. One other thing, yeah. Jan, you played for the Brittany national team. Did you ever wish you played for the French national team?
Yeah, I do. I do when I was younger. After, you have to be honest with yourself and see it's not possible. But when I was young and I started to play football and the first time for Rennes, my aim, of course, was to play at the highest level. So when you consider the highest level is your national team, I think it was normal to think about it. But after, of course, it's not that easy, I would say, and especially when you arrive that late. But I played with Olivier Giroud in France. So I know him well. He played with me at Grenoble. He was a bit younger, so I was at the time a little bit in front of him. So he had to play and to leave for other clubs, and you could see now where he is. So sometimes you never know.
So you taught him everything you knew.
Maybe, but no. But I remember we used to enjoy doing finishing, you know, after training, for sure, doing volleys and. Even overhead kicks and stuff like that. But we used to work together in front of goal.
Neil, any last questions?
No. I just wanted to say thank you to Jan, because I think Eddie was right. We would not have got into the Premier League without you. And you gave us some amazing moments. You're my little boy's favourite player. He wanted me to tell you that Louis. You will always be his favourite. Ah. And you were superb. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and
thank you. Pleasure. Always.
I think, Jan, it's been a real pleasure to have you on there. All the Bournemouth fans, like Neil, like Craig, like me, I think we all loved you, loved having you at the club and realised what a massive contribution you made. So thanks for that. We had Brett Pittman on with us last week, Steve Fletcher up at the weekend, you today. I mean, the three of you have been all great players for us, so we're very grateful. Thank you.
I would definitely come back one day to watch a game and feel the atmosphere again and say hi to lots of people.
No, and really, you are truly much, much loved, and we will never forget you for the bus ride, if nothing else. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Craig, as well, for joining us and for your input today. It's been great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ah, Jan, what a man. Really fond of his story there. It seems like a sad story, really, ending in a lot of dismay. Really upset that he didn't get to start against Aston Villa, but part of me did almost want to say, well, as a professional, you know, surely you should be preparing yourself for all scenarios. But alas, he did a fantastic job when he was at the club, and he went on to Reading, scored a number of goals for them as well, and is pretty much well-loved wherever he went. Maybe not Leicester, but top man, Jan, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. So just a reminder to you then, of course, that if you would like Now TV at a cut price of £25 a month, £12.50 if you share it with a mate, because you can watch two screens at once. The offer URL that you need to go to, the website address, is afcbpodcast.com/now. Thanks very much for listening to the lockdown interviews and all of your support. We've had some lovely comments, and also thank you for everyone who has left a review on your podcast app. We really do appreciate it. Coming up next, well, let's see. It is, oh man, Ian Bishop. You're going to love that one. He was great to talk to in an interview that spanned nearly 2 hours. What a man. He only played for us for one season, but he had such an impact. So Bishop is coming up next. But for now, thank you very much for listening to the lockdown interviews.
Great strike, but I think he got a little clip up someone, Chris.
Here they come again, the Cherries down the right. What a fast start. Francis to the byline. Pulls it in towards the end. Kerrigan! What a goal!